Welcome everyone to the IHCA AmeriGroup MCO member call. Today's December 8th, 2021. Always thankful for our team from AmeriGroup joining us today and helping us to answer any questions that you all may have or have encountered over the last month with some experiences, whether it's claim denials or prior authorization or anything. If you have any questions, feel free to enter those into the chat or towards the end of the call here. You could likely maybe unmute yourself and ask a question verbally. We do have a few questions submitted ahead of time. I'm going to kick it off by normally going to run through ILs, informational letters from the department that have occurred over the last month. There's only been about four, I think, that came out since our last meeting in November. None, I don't think, are needing to probably be addressed on the call today, most applying to other healthcare sectors or that. So I then turn it over to John if you have any opening remarks maybe that you want to make from an AmeriGroup perspective. And if you're talking, you're on mute.
Yeah, I just needed to navigate to unmute myself. And our updates are pretty standard. This month, you know, we are continuing to manage through the pandemic with state plan amendments in place that acknowledge Medicaid's pandemic-related flexibilities and in some cases provider payments. And we are also tracking to the implementation of any of the legislative changes as it relates to rates. And I'm pretty sure we addressed that pretty thoroughly at the last meeting last month. We are also tracking very closely to vaccination rates around the state and in certain counties and in certain populations, as the Medicaid director and the DHS director has asked us to put, you know, some focus on, just from a public health standpoint. Then, we're moving into the end of the calendar year, which means we're starting to close our accounting books and get ready for some of that accounting and claims run out analysis that happens in the first and second quarter of the calendar year 2021. I'll note also that the state is under a DOJ investigation as it relates to the Americans with Disabilities Act that we're watching very closely as it relates to individuals who are seeking less restrictive home and community-based options to facility-based care across all sectors of the Medicaid program, but with a particular focus on the state resource centers. So those are pretty big priorities for the state and therefore pretty big priorities for our focus areas. I think those are sort of the high-level updates, Brandon, that sort of define the contours of the Medicaid program and our work to assist in administering that program.
Awesome. Thanks, John. We'll just move into questions. I only had, like I mentioned, three questions submitted ahead of time. So if you do have any other questions for AmeriGroup or John or his team, the team at AmeriGroup today, you could throw those in the chat while we're running through these pre-submitted ones. This first one, I do see that Danielle is double booked and may be able to join late. Will likely be wrapped up probably, depending on how late it is, but that is okay. I think this first question is probably a Danielle question, but I will pose it anyways in case there is another individual from AmeriGroup that may know. And it's a specific question about a denial code. It was received by a home health member. That's kind of why I was thinking it'd be more Danielle's arena, but denial code N769, a lateral diagnosis is required. Trying to understand what this means, I had a couple of providers reach out, home health specifically, that had received this or similar denials on a few of their claims. and just unsure of how to correct that on their end. And so any comments or, and maybe, like I said, maybe it is a Danielle question that we'll need to follow up on, but I'll turn it over to Amerigroup to see if you have any thoughts on that.
John, this is Dawn Hobson. I actually did reach out. As many of you might know, that Danielle was responsible for our home health, and we've brought that back into the Iowa health plan more locally. So a lot of the provider experience reps right now are getting back into the home health field of claims and that. So I did look that. I hadn't seen it a lot. I really don't recall seeing that before, but I did do some research on it. And it has to do, as I understand, with the ICD-10 code not being specified. So it's basically saying not specified to the claim. And the lateral part of it, I think, is the laterality of possibly left or right. So the recommendation would be that you maybe research that again and maybe resubmit that with an ICD-10 code that would be more to that.
Thanks, Dawn. I know with many of our home health claims, we're putting that Z76.89 code on to help bypass the need for an EOB from Medicare. And I think the concern from the provider was we don't want that denial to be the result of putting that code on the claim, which essentially is not really telling you about the diagnosis that the patient has, but it's more so an administrative diagnosis to help assist with not receiving or not needing to run those claims through Medicare to begin with. And so I think that was the concern of the provider. We don't want to remove that from the claim if that's what's causing it, because we'd then be required to have a Medicare EOB more than likely by not including it. And so it's possible, I suppose, since it wasn't all of their claims and they're putting that Z code on all of them, that there may have been another diagnosis on there that may not have been a normal ICD-10 code, I guess is maybe how I'll phrase it. I'm not sure. But just, I guess, my take on that as well.
Yeah, Brandon, I think you're right. It's really nothing to do with the Z76.89 code. That's, you know, for the, you know, specifically for the not homebound. So it doesn't cross from, you know, Medicare, and we don't require that EOB. This actually was referenced to the primary diagnosis. So I think that's where that laterality definition comes from. And so that's the feedback I've gotten so far on that denial.
Okay.
And I wanted to jump in here too. Our ops people, you know, noted that there's possibility also that the code that's on the that's submitted doesn't meet the diagnosis. So that is why I sent you the follow-up request to see if the provider who asked the question can give us some claims level detail so that our team can analyze it and really see what's going on.
Yeah, thanks for that reminder. I've been out of the office for the past couple of days, and so I will get you, I'll work with the provider to get you some of that detail to help with that.
Thank you.
So the next question we have, and it's kind of like a two-part question, both relating to HMS audits. And this first question is, what process do the MCOs have in place so the MCO will not do recoupments on dates of service that are under a current HMS audit? And then like kind of a follow-up is, why can't there be like a pause in place on recoupments if there is an ongoing audit? And I have heard, it seems like it's kind of picked up here again recently, kind of goes in phases, where providers will be going through those audits, which are obviously looking at overpayments more than likely, and then requesting those funds back, which is fine, but also simultaneously receiving recoupment requests outside of, or not from HMS, but from the plan, requesting those funds back as well. And having some difficulties in navigating that, and that's part of why that question comes up of can there be a pause of recoupments while a current date frame is or time frame is being reviewed through an audit. I guess I also understand that HMS is a separate entity. It's a third party contracted entity of Amerigroup. So likely not any HMS individuals on the line, but as a contracted partner, I wasn't sure how that process flowed with Amerigroup and the recoupments going on at the plan versus audits occurring for the same timeframes.
So Brandon, correct that HMS is a contracted vendor. You don't have process experts on with you. We have specifically asked for HMS representatives as well as our cost containment unit representatives to participate in one or more of these calls. We will continue to ask for that and advocate for the answers that you're looking for from the unit units that I just identified for which this health plan has dependency, but not expertise. The process questions that were outlined in the question that you just set up, our understanding on the first piece of it is that when the vendor HMS selects a claim for audit, it sends it to Amerigroup and tagged to the vendor. The tag would prevent other vendors from and or Amerigroup from picking up that claim. And with the tagging in place, another audit could not be opened. That is the process that has been described to us. A letter for recoupment would not go out until the audit was completed. And from there, the provider has 60 days to enter and submit checks if they agree, or let the process take its course in the system. The best advice is to let the recovery happen instead of submitting checks, is what our business change manager offered when researching the process that the question is alluding to. And again, you're not hearing this from an expert. You're hearing this being reported from our best close source to date. And we will continue to advocate for HMS representatives, cost containment, and other experts to participate in calls to help your members better understand what's going on with cost containment and the recoupment process.
Thanks, John. I think that kind of gets into that, I'll call it part two of the HMS question and asking about when checks are submitted, ensuring that they're posted timely. And from what I understand, and I think we've maybe talked about this before, maybe outside of HMS audits, but just more so the normal claim recoupment process. But we're sending in checks, or some are sending in checks from these audits to clear them. And then they may not get posted, or they're likely sent to HMS, who then more than likely need to work with Amerigroup to post those to the resident accounts in which the overpayment occurred. And that time frame taking a while to where they're simultaneously recouped automatically, and then the check is also posted to the account. And so I think it was just a follow-up question on, what should the process be, or who should they reach out to? I know oftentimes if you reach out to the provider rep or provider experience individual, HMS audits are kind of out of their purview and are directed to work with HMS in that case. And so any thoughts on how that should, how situations like that should be handled if and when checks are submitted? I know you mentioned, you know, wait, don't send a check, just wait for the automatic recoupment to go through. But thoughts on if there are checks submitted, I suppose, and how the provider should handle that?
Yeah, so again, I'm just reporting the process as it's been described to me, and that and we have submitted these questions back to HMS and the cost containment unit, and we're waiting for a confirmation. You know, who can you verify payments are posted to the accounts? You can call the inquiry line that's part of the a part of the letter that is sent out when recoupment process is initiated with a provider. My understanding is that is, you know, if this is truly a you know, crossover benefit, crossover claim related issues, then the MCO would post the check. We're waiting to get confirmation on, you know, how that process is actually used working. And, you know, when I get something, Brandon, I can follow up in writing with the questions that you pre-submitted for today's meeting.
Awesome. Thanks, John. I'll flip into the chat here for some other questions that have come in. This is a home health related question, and I know that we've talked about this before, and it's talking about home health claims rejecting for missing a HIPS code. Has there been any updates as far as those rejections requesting the HIPS code, which, if I'm understanding correctly, Peyton, are not a requirement on the home health claims? John, are you a HIPS code expert as well?
I don't wear that hat, Brandon. I'm sorry. And I'm kind of hoping that maybe our provider experience reps have heard this issue and have an opportunity to reply. I've not, you know, this, seeing it in the chat today is the first time that I've seen it, but I don't have as much exposure to providers as some of the other people participating for Amerigroup today.
Hi, John. This is Dawn Hobson, and everyone. I unfortunately have seen this, you know, quite often recently, and unfortunately we don't have a really good solid fix so that it doesn't do that rejection. And it has to do with our AmeriVantage taking on that market. So really what I can, you know, suggest, and I've worked with, you know, other providers, is that we need to work individually with you to try to get those pulled into our system, into our claim system. There's a process that we have to do that. So if you could reach out, I think it's Peyton, reach out with your provider experience to get assistance with that, and then they can help you get those claims pulled in so that we can process those.
Okay, this is Peyton, and Ben has been helping me look into it. And just so you guys know, he's been the most responsive rep we've had, so he's been very good lately. But I don't know if he's aware of that process. So if I email him, is he going to know what to do, since I know he's new?
Yeah, and he is new, and he is a great, and it's great to hear that he's been the most responsive. We appreciate that. But, you know, he is still learning some of the, you know, the tricks and the trades of trying to get things, you know, fixed. I would, if you want, you can CC me on there, and I can kind of, I'm going to be seeing him on Thursday, I believe. And I can maybe guide him as to what that process is to try to get those pulled in for you.
Okay. Can you put your email in the chat?
Sure. I sure will.
Yeah, Peyton, this is Ben Badgley too. Appreciate the kind words. Yes, keep sending me those instances. I will reach out, obviously, to people here at Amerigroup too if I don't know the answers, and we will figure out the problem together. So have confidence. If you send it my way, it'll, you know, we're going to do the best we can together as a team to figure it out. So sometimes it takes a little bit longer than, you know, than it should, but still digging in and still learning. So keep those things coming my way, please.
Will do. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And thank you, Ben, for jumping on the call.
All right. Thank you all. I do see a question about coinsurance from Leilani, and it's a question that we've had multiple times. And I see that there's a response from Patty to Leilani specifically on there. So I'll bypass that one. I do see a comment from Sue regarding that denial denial for the lateral diagnosis, and looks like there may have been a change. So it's possible that 10-1, a diagnosis may require additional digits. And so, I don't know, I think it was Angie maybe had submitted that. If you're on, Angie, that could be part of the issue there. This next question. Is regarding the HMS audits. So it's regarding the situation like I described earlier regarding the recoupments and the, I guess I'll call it double take backs of the funds. They work with HMS. HMS says they need to work with the Mara Group for repayment of the claim that has maybe been taken back an extra time. And in many cases, these claims are several years old and having difficulties or an inability, I guess, to view these claims on the portal. Any thoughts on claims that are that old or how to go about getting back those funds if they are double recouped? And I know, like I said, I know HMS isn't on the call, but is that an HMS thing, or should that be an Amerigroup process to help return funds if they are proven to be taken back a couple times?
Hi, this is Dawn. I'm just going to jump in whatever I can share here. If we are dealing with the idea of possibly, and I don't know if it's connected, Brandon, to be honest with you, without looking, you know, at a claim or what was actually happening.
Right.
But if we are dealing with the issue that a recoupment has occurred and then a double recoupment for many different reasons, whether the provider, you know, did a refund and then the recoupment went ahead, it just wasn't catching each other. But I would suggest that, you know, individual providers would need to reach out to their provider experience reps to get assistance with that. And it is unfortunate that access on the portal is, you know, so limited when you go back more than, I think, 2 or 3 years. So we can then look at the claims and see what we can do to help. And it's possible we need to submit that into our recoupment team, also, you know, reminding providers that they have access to the recruitment processing inquiry. There's an email that they can actually, you know, request information to if they want to have a conversation directly with the recruitment team.
Thanks, Don. I see a question. How long does it take to file? Or how long do you have to file a corrected claim? And I see Patty responded with 365 days with proper type of bill for the corrected claim. So 180 for initial filing, 365 for correction of those claims. I do see Dawn submitted her email in there. So thank you, Dawn, for including that as well. Last question I have so far is, EVV claims submitted through CareBridge integration are now, they're suddenly denying for PSO 204, not covered benefit. Is this a claims processing? Is this a known issue for those claims? And Sue, I'm not sure. Are you speaking from an AL perspective? Or are you speaking from a home health perspective on this? home health. Thanks, Sue. Any thoughts on, I guess, is that, do we know at this point if the PSO 204 not covered benefit for home health claims that have are going through EVV, which would just be your personal care services at this time? Is that a known denial problem?
Hi, this is Dawn Hobson again. It's not a known, anything that I'm familiar with that is occurring with a home health submission with that. So I'm not really exactly sure. I think what the best thing would be to do is maybe if you have some claims examples that you could send to your provider experience rep, and then we could look in and connect with the EVV submission to see what's happening with those. It sounds to me like you're submitting possibly one claim through EVV, including those services that are not required, maybe, if that's what I was hearing, that would be home health at this time. But I think some claims examples, what we're going to need to kind of see what's happening, but we don't really have anything. In fact, the EVV has been cleaned up. I think we did our last sweep last week, perhaps the week before. So all those claims have been reprocessed that we were having EVV denial issues. But I think this might be something outside of that or one-off.
Thanks, Dawn. And I don't know if I'm remembering correctly or not, but there was a recoupment email that, or a recoupment department or something like that, that has an email that could be shared in the chat possibly. For home health, when will G0156 have to go through EVV? Those home health services that are not personal care, so like your, I think, nursing, PT, OT, speech, or yeah, social worker aid would be 1123. But I think we had someone on last time talking about EVV, and it may have been our Iowa Total Care call, but that process will, you know, obviously start at some point in 22, which is obviously just a few days away. So that process will start, and, you know, testing and beginning in that system for those other home health services will begin likely in the middle of 22, would be my assumption. Question on, to have funds recouped is a lot, but having double recouped is a big deal. Providers can't go on like this. I think when things are double recouped, then it should be a top priority to get the money, the funds back to providers. Obviously, I agree with you, Tammy. If funds are taken back multiple times, to get those back and providers made whole, in my opinion, should be a priority to get everyone at zero balance, really. I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is just accuracy, being paid accurately and properly. And, you know, providers in this case are doing their best to allow for that or to make that happen by sending in a check and then to unfortunately, in passing, having a check coming in and a recoupment going out at the same time. Creates situations like what you're describing here. Question on, when will the EVV claims be auto-ran for the fee increases? Don, I'm not sure if you know the answer to that one, EVV claims being auto-ran for fee increases. I was thinking that those had already been processed, but maybe you can correct me if I'm remembering that wrong.
Brandon, this is Dawn. I'm understanding this as well. So if we're referring to the 3.55% increase, I believe that they have already been reprocessed. So if you're missing some, or you have claims that have not, if you can get a couple of examples, we'll share it with your provider experience rep, and we can look into that.
Thanks, Dawn. And thanks for putting that email in the chat on the recruitment group email. Last question is just a follow-up or a second response on the G0156. And it's all those home health services, the skilled nursing, aid, PTOT, social worker, all of them go into place 1/1/23 is the current requirement. If I'm remembering correctly, that process will obviously start and the transition and getting things set up for providers and with CareBridge or whatever vendor you use, whatever approved vendor you use, will happen at some point in the middle of 22, which is close. Middle of 22 would be 6 months away, right? And so it's likely that those transitions, those conversations and those testing and all that will likely occur at some point in the middle of 22 would be my best guess on that. Unless anyone from AmeriGroup on the call, I guess, has any follow-ups or thoughts on those services through EVV. All right.
No, I don't have anything to follow up on, Brandon. Okay. Sorry.
Cool. So we will go with that. And at that, I feel like that's going to be I didn't give a specific date, but I think that's probably a pretty solid estimation as to when you'll likely start to have some of those conversations, giving you a little bit of a runway before go live, which would be expected and which was the experience, with personal care as well. So, all right. Well, I don't see any other questions in my chat or in my email. I'll pause for a second to see if there are any other questions that providers may have this morning, or we can give you some minutes back today.
Brandon?
Go ahead.
This is Carrie from Skyline Center, and these questions are in regards to home health care. My question is, when is the G0156 going to be fixed at cutting off the max of 16 visits? I was told that was going to be taken care of in September. We're still having issues with October claims, and I've reached out to the representative. My concern is this has been going on since March. The other issue I have is with EVV. The months of September and October, it rejected all of my claims. And I know it's being looked into, but I'm going to be submitting November claims soon. We're not getting paid. And we can't go on like that. The other issue I have is now we're getting an EE4 on some remittances saying this claim line is disallowed because an unspecified DX was submitted. Don't know what that's in regards to. I called the claims department. They had no idea, said this claim code didn't exist.
Dawn, do you have any thoughts on some of Carrie's questions here?
Well, at the end of it, I do. The beginning of it, I'm familiar with. So I guess, I wasn't aware that you were having, the issues in the beginning, of course. And it's simple, it's the same, situation is that we need to work, individually with our provider experience reps for, resolution to that. I hope that you're, seeing that, especially with those. And when you do say rejections, I believe you're probably meaning that they're not getting into the system. You're not referring to denials. And then the only thing I really did have anything is you commented on a denial code that you hadn't seen before, which was at the beginning of our call today, was the same type of denial. And I hadn't seen it before either. And during that research that I had shared, that that's really what it is indicating, is that unspecified ICD-10 diagnosis code. And I believe there was an update to the ICD-10 in October. And so I'm not 100% sure, but I wonder if that's where we're really kind of running into the problem, is we have that edit in there with that denial code that has to do with the update that occurred for the ICD-10 updates in October. So that's about as much as I can really share on that part of it. The other part, I don't have any specific, I've taken some notes here, and maybe we can try to, you know, get some sort of answer to you if you would want to go ahead. My email is in the chat box, and I can try to see if I can find something out for you, and we can kind of
I'm on the phone. I'm not on the chat box, but Brandon knows.
I'll connect you. Yeah,
sure.
Okay, thanks, Brandon. Because the thing is, with that code, we've only seen it on 3 clients, probably out of 50. So I don't know what the situation would be with that. The other issue that I have is the same clients every month get denied for primary insurance. And I call in and I actually do the paperwork as far as disputing. Anytime I do any paperwork with a dispute, I get no resolution. So I literally call on every client and we don't get paid. Then I send it in again and then it gets as a duplicate claim. Well, it's not a duplicate claim. You didn't pay the first claim. So I don't know how to do, I don't know what to do. This is the only issue. I do not have this with Iowa Total Care. It's only with Amerigroup, and I don't know how to resolve it.
Okay. Let me ask you just a couple questions that might be helpful.
Sure.
With the diagnosis code, you know, that was information and research that was with our business change manager. There's obviously, I believe, something to do. And if you just have a few out of 50 that are getting that, I can't really begin to explain that part. But the other part about the EOB on 3 members generally as a you know, regular stance, you wonder if they are duly enrolled perhaps, because I have seen that where it is an incorrect denial for the EOB when they are duly enrolled, maybe with our AmeriVantage, you know, with that. And I wanted to also clarify that resubmitting a claim without changing the bill type is going to will always get you a duplicate. If you're not changing the bill type and you don't have any change, or you're changing something to the actual claim itself, then it would come in as a reprocessing of an additional, you know, reprocess of the original claim. But if you are just resubmitting, and I don't know if that's what you meant, and you're not changing or the frequency code, that would come back as a duplicate.
I change the frequency code, but anytime I do that, it still gets sent in as a duplicate claim.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do because we have so many outstanding claims from Amerigroup that dollar wise, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what to do. Regards to double insurance, dual insurance, they don't have it.
Okay.
And when I call in, the claims rep will say, well, they're covered under this. No, it's home health care. They're not home bound. I think a lot of people need to realize in the claims department the difference between home health care services being home bound and not.
Correct. And you are using the Z76.89 diagnosis code?
Pardon me?
You, for the not homebound, you are using the Z76.89 diagnosis code?
Correct.
Okay. It's on these claims?
Correct.
Okay. I think what we're going to have to do is probably get either a date span or, you know, some examples. We have a spreadsheet. I don't know if your rep has shared that with you yet. that we would need you to complete. At least give us 5 or 10 examples of claims that they're all denying for the same thing. And then we would have to submit that to our higher escalation team, our Aspen team, which is our provider resolutions team, that would actually need to look into it further.
And it was being looked into previously with one of the reps. We just received information on our new rep, but previously it was being looked into by 2 other reps because we've went through a few reps recently. And I don't know whatever happened, but I noticed it again this month, same situation.
Okay. And we do have you connected now with the correct, I mean, we have had a lot of changes and we do apologize for that. There's been a lot of, we've hired additional staff and we've been bounced all over the place. And I myself can, attest to that as well. So, you have the connection now, but do you have any communication with the individuals that you maybe submitted those claims to? I would just make sure that you're in on it too.
Well, I've made contact with her several times within the last couple of weeks, and I haven't received anything back. I've called, I've emailed, she hasn't responded, our new rep. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think I have to encourage you to keep trying. You do have my email if you want to put it on there, and I'll see if I can facilitate for you. I'm not familiar with you as a provider, so I don't think you're part of my group, but yeah, I will definitely try to facilitate something with you. And in regard to the multiple, changes in our provider experience team right now, it's so nice to have a full staff, with our provider experience team, which means that we can hopefully, all respond and get to some resolutions for our providers and give them a good experience. I do want to share that we have been waiting very patiently for the new provider experience map to be approved so that we can actually post that. And I believe it is posted now out on our Amerigroup provider site for, I guess maybe it's not, I've just got an IM, but we are waiting for that approval, and that will be posted out there as soon as we can. Just keep, if I get something, I just try to refer it to the right individual from the internal map that we have. We're not able to post it until we get that approval.
Okay. Yeah, I try to work on it. I'm actually, unfortunately, due to COVID situation, I actually now have more hats than I used to. And so I try to stay on top of it, but unfortunately, sometimes time gets away from me doing other things.
I do understand.
Like we're all doing for you right now.
Yeah, we're all very, very busy. Yeah, I think we were, and I was on medical leave, so there were a lot of hats were covering even for me, so I understand that. Yeah, we all have some hats that, and hopefully we can, we're going to get to the point where we're, wearing one hat, hopefully.
That's not going to happen, but
we can stay positive. Okay.
Thank you. I will connect you both and then, Carrie, as you see that email, if you, you could probably, I think, include your current rep in a response to that, just so Dawn is aware of who your rep is attached to your facility. So I'll make that connection now, actually, when we get off the call here. Yep. We have a couple other ones in the chat here. This question, can you submit a UBO4 claim with a type 217 and the original claim number and not get it to be a duplicate claim from Amerigroup?
Well, I will speak to that with Dawn again. The intent is to be able to do a bill type of 217, and it would come into our system on the original claim as a corrected claim or a replacement claim. If you are getting a denial or, that one being a duplicate claim, then it's just an offshoot if it's not, it's not actually being looked at correctly. When you, have those, I would try to pull those together and have your provider experience rep look at them. so that we can submit those and indicate that they're not being processed correctly under the 217 corrected claim bill type.
Thanks, Dawn. And that the last one is just a comment, I think, in general regarding getting responses from reps and some of the difficulties and frustrations providers are experiencing when trying to make some of those outreaches, whether through phone or email. And obviously, you mentioned some of the staffing difficulties that you're currently experiencing, or maybe not anymore, but you had been experiencing. And so, you know, hopefully with having a full team, some of those timelines can be expedited for responses, I suppose, to providers. And so I don't know if you have any general comments that you want to make about that or not, but I can pause and allow that if you'd like. All right. And then just another comment about 217 claims being denied and they're working with cost containment. Cool. All right. Well, that's all I see in the chat right now. We did end up going 51 minutes here. So appreciate the participation, as always, from our representatives and the team at AmeriGroup. And your continued participation in our calls, very helpful and appreciate that. And then for the members attending and submitting questions ahead of time or whether through the chat, always helpful, always insightful and allows people to kind of understand what's going on and maybe get some answers. So again, thank you. We won't talk again on this call, at least until after the holidays. So happy holidays to everyone. And hope you enjoy the rest of what is 2021. It went fast, so.
Thanks, Brandon. Happy holidays. Looking forward to working with you all in 2022.
Awesome. Thanks, everyone.